got to get creative. God gave me a daughter who loves to sing, though. I love to tell the story. JK, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, Eric, because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, Pastor. It will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. You see, David, I can't sing, but I sure do like lyrics to good music. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Because we seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. Even in scenes of glory, when I sing a new song, it will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Don't you? Amen. So Pastor Butch, Pastor JK, I consider it a real privilege to come here, and family, brothers, sisters, I consider it a real privilege to come and share what God has done in my heart regarding the power of testimony. There's a great story in Revelation chapter 12. You know, we love stories. Everything in life consists of stories, whether it be a movie, a book. We love stories. We love stories with movies with good storylines. We love songs with good storylines. We love stories. In chapter 12 of Revelation, there's a pretty powerful story with a lot of description. A lot of description. There's war. There's death. There's life. There's victory. There's overcoming. There's dragons with seven heads. There's a woman that is dressed and clothed in the sun and standing over the moon. It's a pretty descript story with a lot of action in it, Robert. But there's one line in there that really has been pressed upon me for about the last year. And since we're talking about how God spoke to us about things, when Pastor JK reached out to me and said, look, I'd like to give you an opportunity to share with what God's put on your heart about what He's spoken to you about. That's the series that we're going to be speaking from. Right about that moment, God began impressing upon me the power of our testimony. I would have never imagined 6 years ago that I'd be standing here right now. It was just 6 years ago that Pastor Butch came to my house and led my wife to the Lord. A couple months later, our home burned down. And God gave me a new family. It was a year after that my mom passed away. And Jesus showed up in such a powerful way that He is now undeniable to me. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. So that one line in Revelation 12:11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. the blood of the Lamb. But we cannot underestimate the power of our testimony. We cannot underestimate that. He made a point here. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This story is about war in heaven, war on earth, woman who's pregnant. It's a graphic, traumatic, it's an awesome story. And it's a story of overcoming. And John specifically points this out. And when we sing that song and praise the Lord, we love telling the story about Jesus and his glory. Jesus and his love. Right, Jason? Amen. Because life is all about stories. When we watch a good movie, what's the first thing we say? Hey, man, you really need to check that movie out. Check this. That storyline is awesome. Because when we hear a good story, it does something in us. It moves us. The best music tells a story. The best art tells a story. The best movie have great storylines. Anybody who knows me fairly decently, you know, if you spend any time with me at all, I constantly quote movies. I can't get it out of my head. If you're talking to me, some situation will come up and I'll quote a movie. It's normally comedy. Although the Bible, like movies, is full of drama and action. All of the things that resonate with us when we listen to music as we're driving down the road, lifting our hands, or we're rocking out, or whatever it is that you do. Or if you cry, tear jerkers. You know, I've seen Eric cry at movies. It was really weird for me. Stories shape our lives. They do. You know, when I was a boy, one of the things that I remember about my dad was I loved sitting around the campfire listening to men tell stories. Something about just sitting around with people and sharing stories is powerful. They shape our lives. And as a young man, when I would sit with my dad and his friends, his fishing buddies, he would tell stories of his childhood, his teenage years, his work life. It did shape a little bit about who I became. It really did. Well, see, the story that shapes our life is a pretty powerful story as believers. Every good gift that we have, I think we can all agree on this. Every gift comes from the creator of the universe. The Alpha, the Omega, the all in all, the one who created it all. Every good gift comes from him. One of the best gifts that we've been given is his story in us. His testimony in us. It's a powerful gift. It's a story of hope, of forgiveness, of restoration, of faith, of joy, of peace, of love. His story in us is meant to be shared. It really is. We can't underestimate that. The blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of the Christ give power to overcome. They do. So as I look around this room, just as an example, I see David back there. David Coley. I can think of a testimony in the last few weeks that affected his life. It gave me hope. It gave me perseverance. It's his testimony, but he shared it with me. I can think of a couple of years ago, Ralph and Marilyn, the accident they had in California, and the way they fought and the way their family prayed. Unbelievable. I see Debbie and Ken. And in the power of God working in Ken, his testimony. I mean, I look everywhere and I see testimonies of God's hand working in all of your lives. Maria and Joseph. I could tell you a testimony there. Jerry and Savannah. A very powerful one in Skip going to Nagaland. I mean, it's there everywhere. They help us persevere. They help us press in. They help us keep fighting the good fight of faith. They help us overcome. Just like the Word says. Because those testimonies, those stories, Skip's story, Ralph and Marilyn's story, Jerry and Savannah's story, I mean, I can just keep going. Jason's, I mean, everybody's story. What they do is they shape our identity. They shape our identity as individuals. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at JR and his knee. It wasn't too long ago that his wife, oh my goodness, by his side as he experienced knee surgery, the way she served him, loved him, sacrificed for him, honored him, that's a testimony for me. Those things, they're beautiful. It's what we should share. And so it wasn't too long ago that we formed this men's breakfast, No Man Left Behind. One of the things that I try to make sure that I impress upon the men is that it's not about me. We get together, we eat breakfast, we fellowship, we worship, we praise, we share a word, but primarily what I'm looking for is for you to testify about who God is to you, about what you hope for, about you seeing His hand working in your life so that your faith would grow. That's what it's about. So that we're not left behind. Why? Because we love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. We are overcomers in Christ by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. No man left behind. These testimonies shape our identity. 1 John 1, 2 through 3. If you've got a phone, flip it. If you've got a book, turn it. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was in the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. One more I'll share with you. Luke 8:39. So return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city, all of Marian. No. How much Jesus had done for him. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. See, it doesn't matter how small. Let me turn that around a little bit. It doesn't matter how big. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing. We say that. We say that. But really, nothing is too big. I'm not talking about just the challenges that we deal with. I'm talking about the victories. Those big victories belong to God. So nothing's too big. So give him glory. But here's the thing that sometimes we overlook. Nothing is too small either. Nothing is too small. So nothing is too big for God and nothing is too small. Why? Because he is the all in all. He is everything to us. The big, the small, the medium, the large, I don't care what it is. He's our all in all. So every breath that we breathe, everything that we experience, we see it through the lens of our faith. He's our all in all. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. My testimony is true. So I tell it because I love it. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Speaking of God's love, it's another testimony. You ready? So it wasn't too long ago that my brother Will was up here sharing about God's love. And then shortly after that, he was out in the arena telling another testimony. From both of those testimonies, I had lessons in my home, one with my daughter on my back porch about 9 o'clock at night, lasts about an hour and a half. Had to do with how to handle emotions. God, there's no instruction manual for how to handle all of these emotions that I'm going through as a 12-year-old. And I'm, Well, but see, she said, Daddy, I listened to Will's sermon and it was powerful. Because it was about the fact that we look everywhere except the Word of God. And it helped open up a conversation for me with my daughter. Power of testimony. It's like a journal. I was just having this conversation with my daughter, Tyndall, last night. So, if I go and I grab Tyndall's journal and I want to look through it and all I want to do is find things that she's doing wrong or what she's done wrong or maybe her you know, just find something that's wrong with it, is she going to want to hide it? Well, see, God, when you open His Word and you look for Him and you want to find Him and you want to have a relationship with Him, He knows your heart. And if your heart is wrong and you're searching Him out because you want to prove Him wrong, or you want to dismiss His Word, or you just want to use it to beat people over their head and find what's wrong with them, He's going to hide it from you. It's like a journal. This is God's story. It's His story in us. We don't want it hidden from us. We want it hidden in us. Amen? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." See, here's the deal. When your motive, the motive of your heart, lines up with God's will, and God's will is not completely secret from us, He gives us His Word. As a matter of fact, He says He's given us His Spirit and the mind of Christ that we might know His will, test it, and prove it. And so when our hearts line up with His will, when our motives line up with His will, He shows Himself. And guess what He does? He gives you another reason to testify. Another reason to say, "Can I get a witness?" Another reason to raise your hands and praise Him, because you're moving according to His will. The motive of your heart is right. So He shows up through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. And it excites you. It gives you passion. Because passion... Because purpose identified gives you passion. Write that one down. That one's free. Purpose identified creates passion. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing the division of the soul and the spirit. I love to tell His story. So the world needs Christians who will not be afraid to live their faith and share their testimony, JR. The Lord commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We will not be able to do that unless we realize the power and the importance of our testimony. We've got to resolve to do four things. Do good. Do good. Don't just be hearers of the word. Do it. Because if you don't, you're just deceiving yourself. And there's nothing more than the enemy likes nothing that ruins our testimony more than those not lining up. So do good. Keep our focus on the cross. The blood of the Lamb. Keep our focus on the cross. Realize that we are no longer who we used to be. See, when I was talking to you about those stories that my dad would tell, it did shape a lot of my identity as a young man. I was a big beer drinker. I was a partier. And I know that we give glory to those things that, quite frankly, culture creates in us as men. And it formed an identity in me that's just who I became, because that's what I saw. That's what I heard. That's what he did. And it shaped me. But see, we have to realize that we are no longer the same. We are new creations. We have a new realization that we have life eternal in Christ Jesus, that we have purpose in this life so that we should have his passion to share his story. Amen. We've got to love to tell his story, Barry. We got to love it. And I think we do. But when you tell it, you better be willing to suffer for the Lord. So we've got to resolve to do these four things. Do good. Do good. I'll get into the details in a minute. Keep focus on the cross. Realize that we're not the same. Realize that we're not the same. Be willing to suffer for the Lord. Listen, your family is going to reject you. People are going to make fun of you. We know all of these things. But the difference is it doesn't matter, because you are no longer who you used to be. You are a new creation. You are a new possession. And you have reason to share his story, because now you love it. Because you know it's true. It satisfies your longing like nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Don't you? Okay. So, doing good. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Look, it's simple. If we want a powerful testimony, do good. Do good things. If we want others to hear our story, do good. Go to that March for Life. Figure out something. Make it happen. That's good. That's believers showing up. The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, people showing up, doing good. Nothing will ruin our testimony like failing to live for God. If we want folks to listen to what we have to say about the Lord, we must live a life that reveals that he is real. God gave me a son after 7 years. I wanted a son so bad. Tyra and I, our first pregnancy was a little boy. And at 9 months, he was stillborn. And it was probably the most difficult thing up to that point, it was the most difficult thing I could have ever imagined going through. And that's just me. I can't even fathom what that's like for a mother. See, God has a plan. He gave us two beautiful girls that he prepared to be nice babysitters. And then he gave us our boy. But one of the things that was wrong was Tyra and I weren't really right yet. We didn't know how to pray together. We honestly didn't pray together. We were just deceiving ourselves. Why? We were hearers of the word, but we weren't doing it. And then we began doing it. And God showed up. Our walk must be in line with our talk. Here's something. It isn't natural. Our nature is sinful. Our flesh will always give us trouble when it comes to our witness. Doing good is not always the easiest thing to do, especially when it's warm and we're sweating. We're working hard. I bet y'all thought I was talking about in here. I was actually talking about work. You know, you got you're tired and you're working hard all day, and you know, you get in your car and you're driving home, and some knucklehead does something. It's not easy to do good in those moments. Because it's not natural. Our nature is sinful. Our flesh will always give us trouble when it comes to our witness. Our flesh will always give us trouble when it comes to our witness. Doing good isn't always the easiest thing to do. Usually it's really tough to do the right thing when everything around us, when everyone around us is expecting us to do the wrong thing. It makes it easy. Makes it easy to do the wrong thing when that's what people expect of you. That's why you surround yourself with faithful men. Men are heading in the same direction. Men who agree with you where you're going. Men who love you enough to speak into your life to say, hey, that ain't where you're headed, brother. That ain't who you are anymore. That's why you surround yourself with family who is faithful. When we take a stand for Jesus, there will be those who don't like it. There will be. They'll cut their kids off from talking to your kids, even if you're family. But you know what? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And when we do, I love to tell the story, because in scenes of glory, I'll be singing a new song. It will be the old story that I've loved so long. See, it's those things that keep us moving in faith, that grow us. It isn't natural, but it is powerful. When we allow God to work in our life, we find the true source of power in our witness. Most people in this world ignore God's purposes for their lives. Don't do that. Don't do that. Seek it out. Remember, nothing is too big. Also remember, nothing is too small. So no matter how small that is, I don't care if it's a grandchild, grandson, neighbor. I mean, I don't know if y'all remember this, but JK had a neighbor not too long ago that he took a special interest in and sacrificed. He loved him from his will, because that is how God loves. He loves him not as an emotion, not as a convenience thing, not as some mystical romantic deal. He loves him from the will. It's intentional. Love is sacrifice, man. And he displayed it, and it inspired me. Because listen, I'm not even saying how old I am, but he's older than I am. And I would have been too tired and impatient to do that. But he did it. And I thank God for it. It's the power of that testimony. Most people in the world ignore God's purposes for their lives. Don't do it. Galatians 6:12. As many desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. The crowd usually follows the easiest way, not the best. That's true. God calls us to do good. While the rest of the world is telling us to do wrong, we simply must determine whatever we do will be good and godly. So when I say do good, I'm not saying be a do-gooder. Do good. Be willful in your love towards people. Be intentional. Love sacrificially. Love intentionally. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So it is simple. If you want a powerful testimony, do good. If we want others to hear our story, do good. Nothing ruins our story like not living for God. Amen. It isn't natural. It will be powerful. The problem is it's impossible on our own to do good all the time. Amen. He knew it. So guess what he did? He gave us his word. He gave us his Holy Spirit. And he gave us his grace that we might grow. That we might grow in his grace. Constant, perpetual, eternal forgiveness. It's paid. And we love telling the story of God and his love, his willful love, his glory. So we focus on the cross. Make sure I'm doing okay on time here. Focus on the cross. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It's about what Jesus did. It's not about us. Amen. Listen, doctrinally and all of that stuff, there's a lot of things that I get confused on with a lot of guys, but here's one of the best books I've ever read. Now, I don't know Rick Warren from Adam. I don't know his deal, but I do know this. When he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, I read it. The first sentence in that book said, it's not about you. Man, we focus on the cross. Praise God for it. We love to tell his story of Jesus and his glory. I love to tell the story. Don't you? Realize that we're not the same anymore. We talked about that. Romans 6:11. Likewise, we reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be willing to suffer and sacrifice. Galatians 6:17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. There is a cost for living for Christ. It might be physical, like the Apostle Paul had to endure. It might be ridiculed by our friends or our family. It could mean we face discrimination on our job and in our community. People will misunderstand us and our motives. They will question even our intelligence. Faith is foolishness. But remember the words of our Lord. So as I close, my story up to this point has been encapsulated by Jesus telling me these words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Amen. I have overcome the world. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Don't you? So here's the thing I want to just close with. God is working in this room, in your lives. Do you pay attention? Do you testify to it? And Some of us need hope because we're struggling. Some of us need to be sharing the victories that we've just experienced, even today. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Mike. We just take for granted our testimony because we feel it's either too small, it's insignificant. Listen, my dad used to tell me assuming did something terrible. So I'm not an assumer. Matter of fact, one of my good friends tells me that it's actually the lowest form of knowledge, assuming. I don't want to assume that everybody in here has believed the story, has come to the saving knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, that they know Him as Savior, and they grow in Him so that He is the Lord, that He is their leader, that their attitude reflects leadership. I don't want to assume anything. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to let Pastor come up, and I'm going to have him invite you to come up here. If you have not given your life to the Lord, listen, you're going to overcome by two things: the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And he's ready to reveal what that is so that you should share it. And that's where I close. Family, I love you. I thank you for allowing to you sharing your life with me. I love hearing your stories. I encourage you to share them more. Love one another. Spend time together. Because we're going to overcome by the blood of our Lamb. The blood of His Lamb, the blood of our Messiah, and the word of our testimony.